Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. It's been a busy midweek in the Premier League, so plenty to look back on there. We've had our first managerial sacking in the Premier League. We'll be getting Mark's thoughts on that. And of course, a busy weekend ahead as well. We'll also be getting the thoughts of Dan Childs regarding the EFL later on in the show, so stay tuned. Mark, it's been a hectic one. It's Christmas party season as well, isn't it? So are you still as well researched as usual, or has the pints of lager been getting in the way?
No, I was up very early this morning, making sure that all the injuries were accounted for, all the stats were updated. You are right; it is it's very much the festive party season, but this is what you do the hard yards for the other 11 months of the year, to make sure you're fit and able to fight on more than one front. It's like a Pep Guardiola, how he seemed always improve in the second half of the season. I think it's just the same for me and you, Jack. We come on strong in the festive party time.
Speak for yourself. Let's take a look at the top of the Premier League table then, Mark, because it's become a really intriguing title race, actually. Manchester City losing in midweek to Aston Villa, and I don't think the scoreline was quite told the full story. Aston Villa were really on top in that game. I wanted to look at the outrights, Mark, with you. Man City still favourites, 10-11. Arsenal 11-4. Liverpool 7-2. You can get a 25-1 about Aston Villa. I know we've been here before on this podcast, Mark, in terms of Manchester City tripping up. Are these are they still the real deal? And often they just sort of turn it on and move into another gear and run clear. But it does feel competitive up the top there this season.
Yeah, it definitely does. City won the treble last season. I think most people just assumed that they would, win the league this campaign. Arsenal run them relatively close last season and then fell away at the last bit. But City really not playing very well at the moment. And I do remember saying almost exactly the same thing before they went on that massive run last season when they got the job done. But I think, there's been a lot to be nervous about from City in recent weeks. You go back to the Arsenal game where they barely created a chance in the 1-0 defeat. So that's one issue they had. They couldn't create a chance. Then they played Chelsea and Tottenham where they had no control over the game and conceding four goals in one and three in the other. And then you go to the game against Aston Villa. And I mean, it's just absolutely incredible the way that, the stats for that game are just not what you just expect to see from, a Manchester City game. 22 shots for Aston Villa, 2 for Manchester City, 7 on target for Villa, 2 for City. It's just big problems in sort of a number of areas. Sometimes they're not defending well. Sometimes they're not attacking well. And the team that he picked for that game against Villa, very, very odd. I mean, if you go back to kind of Guardiola's best teams, he basically has a team full of midfielders. That's the way his team sort of dominate play. And yet, at Villa Park, he's got Akanji and Stones and Diaz and Garvidal and Walker all in the same team. And then you've got, I suppose, like Foden, you wouldn't really count as a midfielder in sort of the truest sense, like of a Guardiola midfielder. You've got Alvarez, who's basically a forward playing deeper. Like the whole team just disjointed at the moment, I think. And I think Alvarez is a slight issue for Guardiola. One, he's a really good player, so he's difficult to not pick in the starting 11. But I do feel like he unbalances them at times, kind of that classic City team just, has a real stranglehold on midfield. And what must it say about Kovacic and Nunez that he picked and signed those players in the summer and didn't feel like they were up to replacing Rodri, and their reliance on Rodri has to be a concern. The caveat is that when De Bruyne comes back, maybe things will be completely different. And it's well known that Guardiola trains the team to come on strong in the second half of the season. But at the moment, they're just sort of sleepwalking themselves into a kind of difficult position, and they don't appear to have any kind of way of waking themselves up from it.
Well, 15 games into this Premier League campaign, Mark, Manchester City fourth, 6 points behind league leaders Arsenal at the moment, 4 points behind Liverpool, 2 points behind Aston Villa. Would you be a backer at odds on still for City to win the title?
I don't know if I'd be a backer. I wouldn't be in a rush to lay it because it is only 6 points, and we've seen how quickly that can change in time. And I do think that De Bruyne coming back, adds a whole new dynamic to what Manchester City, will be in the second half of the campaign. I think I'd probably rather just back Liverpool though, of the teams. I like what Liverpool are doing. They've just got so many goals in them, this season, that I just think they'll be able to beat all of the kind of the real weak kind of quarter, I'd say, of the Premier League, maybe even sort of bottom third. And I just see Liverpool being very reliable in those games because of the amount of goals that they score. So I don't know if I'm dodging the question slightly, because rather than just lay City, I think I'd rather just take a position on one of the other two realistic contenders. And I think that of those, Arsenal and Liverpool, as I've said sort of for the whole season, really, I've felt that Liverpool can lay down a challenge to City this season. I haven't seen anything that sort of made me change my mind just yet in that regard. And from a fixtures point of view, Liverpool have done a lot of the hard work. I'm just sort of calling up the fixtures. They've already been away at Liverpool to Manchester City, to Tottenham, to Newcastle, to Brighton, to Chelsea. So they've got sort of most of those big boys to come at Anfield, and we know how good they are at Anfield. So I don't see any reason to suggest that Liverpool are going to slow down. Arsenal have been getting the wins. And they nicked another one against Luton late on. Some people will say that's a sign of champions when you can not play well and win games. I don't know, it makes me nervous. And the goalkeeping situation is still it is a problem for them now, and I'm not quite sure where Arteta goes with it. Those two could easily sort of push City much closer than I think we were all expecting. The one thing that makes me really laugh about City is United are only 3 points behind them. I mean, United are a team that have been in crisis basically all season long, are 3 points behind Manchester City. I mean, it's absolutely bonkers.
It is, it really is. Well, Liverpool are around about 7-2 to go on and win the title. Let's take a look at the other end of the table, Mark, and a quick look at the outright market in terms of to be relegated. Sheffield United obviously favourites. They're 1-16. Luton 1-4. Burnley 8-15. Everton 5-2 and Forest 10-3. Had another really poor performance last night. We have seen a change. Chris Wilder returns to Sheffield United. Heckenbottom depart. You often see, don't you, changes or just desperation to try and get something moving in the right direction. I mean, it's an uphill battle from here for the Blades. Do you think they can turn things around?
Yeah, first of all, I know there'd probably be Aston Villa fans screaming that we've not mentioned them at all. We are going to do a good bit on them next up, aren't we? In the big match
Don't worry,
against Arsenal. Yeah,
everyone.
I don't, because I know that there's been complaints from Villa fans that they haven't quite maybe received the plaudits all season for what they've done. In terms of down at the bottom, I mean, you read out the odds there. I mean, I don't think it matters if Pep Guardiola or Unai Emery goes into Sheffield United. I don't think they'd be able to save them. The team's just it's just not good enough. The squad's not good enough. I feel like they had to make a change because they were just drifting towards relegation. And maybe Chris Wilder, he's got the relationship with the club. He'd done well first time around there at Sheffield United. Maybe he can just bring everybody together and sort of, I suppose just do something. Sometimes you just need to do something, even if it kind of isn't a great big change in plan. You just need to do something to try to change the course of what you're doing. What they will be hopeful of, I suppose, is the fact that that if Everton's 10-point deduction stays, then there is at least I suppose another team to chase. But they've only got 5 points from 15 games. Like, how are they going to reel in enough of the teams there? I mean, Forest are playing really badly at the moment. Maybe they'll make a change. But by the time this podcast comes out, because I think Steve Cooper's bang under trouble. But, you know, Bournemouth are picking up quite nicely. So they're on 16. You know, Crystal Palace are already on 16 points. I mean, you know, Sheffield United are going to have to really turn it on to even get close to staying up. And I just don't think it matters who's in charge. And what I would say about Wilder is that since he left Sheffield United, it hasn't really worked out for him, has it?
No, absolutely not. The team I was interested in were Luton, and I know there might be a slight bit of recency bias here because I thought they were impressive in the whole against Arsenal. They're second favourites to go down 1-4. The thing with Luton that, you know, they obviously lack quality in certain areas, but they do make it tough for teams, and it does feel as if they're in games for large periods. And often, you know, as someone that's watch plenty of relegation battles. If you can just stay in games, there will be occasions where you pick up points, and that's pleased me about Luton this season.
Yeah, they're definitely not, you know, completely hopeless. That I think some people have maybe thought that they would be, you know, when the season started or when they gained promotion. You know, seconds away from beating Liverpool, seconds away from getting a point against Arsenal. I mean, these are, you know, impressive performances, really. I mean, you know, the Spurs went down to 10 men, but they, you know, could maybe have got a point against them in the sort of second half anyway, you know, and then they end up losing that game 1-0. So you're right, they're in matches that, you know, they're doing very well in that regard. Yeah, I mean, I can I see them staying up? No, but I do think that they've got a lot of, you know, what you would call easier home games sort of left to go. If you look at sort of the bottom half of the table, they've only played three teams at home so far at Kenilworth Road. So you've got Brentford and Fulham and Bournemouth and Forest, Everton, Sheffield United, all to go to Kenilworth Road. They'll feel like there's points there to be had. And even away from home, they got the point at Forest. They won at Everton, didn't they? So I mean, there will be times when they take a hiding, and that, you know, that just happens, I think, to teams down at the bottom. But yeah, you know, I think they will get relegated, but it's certainly not, you know, shameful from them. And I think there were suggestions, weren't they? They were going to be embarrassed for much of the season. That's definitely not happening.
I did see as well. It's not all doom and gloom for Luton. It's been half decent on the pitch. They've also won in a poll in the national media today, Mark. They've officially been named the sexiest fans in the Premier League. Did you see that coming?
I definitely didn't been to Luton. Yeah, I've not been to all the towns. I've been to Luton. Surprise.
With that note, we'll move on to the big match.
Members Club is now available on the Racing Post app. All Members Club subscribers can now access premium news and tips anytime, anywhere. Plus, if you're not already a member, you'll get 50% off your first 3 months. If you haven't already subscribed yet and want to join the greatest club in racing, simply visit racingpost.com/subscribe.
Let's take a look at Aston Villa Arsenal then. Really looking forward to this one. Saturday, 5:30, 23-10 Aston Villa, 11-10 Arsenal, 13-5 the draw. Mark, we promised the Villa fans we would talk about them, and talk about them we will. Just been a really impressive season for them. Emery is clearly a very tactically shrewd manager and getting the best out of what is on paper a really decent squad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I didn't expect them to be third at this stage. Expected sort of gradual progress, I suppose, from what happened last season. Because, like you say, they'd spent reasonable amounts of money. They've got a good coach. They are one of those teams, I think, that were sort of, you know, thinking top six, and you never, you know, if you're top six, then you can push on for top four, because generally speaking, there's not that much between those teams, are there, really? I think we've seen that over the last couple of years, where the Premier League has become, you know, more competitive there. You've got the kind of traditional big six, Villa and Newcastle, trying to make it a big eight almost, and then Brighton as well in a different way. Also a good side. So I think the level of the Premier League is coming up. Their home form is astonishing, really. 14 straight Premier League wins. The Arsenal, coincidentally, the last team well, they won there. I was going to say to avoid defeat. They also won there in terms of the Premier League. So, yeah, I mean, it's going great guns. And I mentioned the stats earlier, but to have 20 more shots than Manchester City is something that not many teams have been able to do. They've obviously got the Europa Conference League. Doesn't seem to be impacting them at the moment. I think Emre very good at making tactical changes in game. We saw that at Spurs the other week when he made two half-time substitutions and managed to wrestle control of that game after a chaotic first half for them. They've got this offside trap that they use effectively. That being said, I mean, they were a couple of minutes away from losing at Bournemouth at the weekend. So not everything's going perfect for them. And you would just say in terms of squad depth, like Diaby and Leon Bailey can both kind of play that other striker role, if you like. But they wouldn't, like, what happens if Watkins got injured, I suppose, for any length of time? John McGinn playing out of his skin at the moment, doing really well. I think Martinez in goal is somebody that I was going to say I like. I don't really like him. I think he's not the most likable of characters, but he is somebody that, yeah, he still made good saves against Man City that and also in the win at Spurs. You know, he obviously made the mistake, was it, against Forest? I mean, so I suppose that's the sort of thing here when we're talking about Villa. It's away from home. They could have been beaten by Tottenham. I think, you know, on the balance of play, probably should have. Against Bournemouth, they've nicked a late equaliser. The Nottingham Forest, I mean, not many teams are losing to Nottingham Forest at the moment. And then they obviously took the Tonkins at Liverpool and Newcastle earlier on. If you can just carry on beating kind of everybody at home, then it won't matter so much. And they'll definitely be in the fight for top four. What tends to happen in these things is that at some stage the home form does dip because what they're doing at the moment feels unsustainable. You know, very few teams can just keep winning every week, that they're at home. And then it's a case of, well, you know, can you start picking up points away from home? And that is the next step, I suppose, for the side really to start winning sort of more consistently away from home, because they did beat Tottenham and they've beaten Chelsea on the road this season. But Chelsea went down to 10 men, and, you know, I think everybody that saw the Spurs game could see the weaknesses that are still in that Villa team. But, you know, massive threat going forward, creating a lot of chances. Watkins is scoring for fun. Good quality in midfield and a nice balance to the team. I think that's really important that, sometimes, and I spoke about with City, didn't I, that the balance of their side just looked really odd at Villa Park. Aston Villa, the balance of their team just looked right. And that was a big problem under Steven Gerrard. And, you know, you'll remember, Jack, when we were doing the podcast last season, that I felt that, I did say it on more than one occasion, I felt that Gerrard was pound for pound doing like the worst job in the Premier League. So it was probably a good job for Emery to get that, you know, there was potential in this Villa team and you wouldn't need to do that much to actually get them right up the table. But he's still, you know, he's taken them on probably more than I expected and most other people.
Yeah, going really well. We talk about sustaining form. You mentioned briefly Arsenal. You're going very well at the top of the table. And those are the types of victories at Luton that kind of get a fan base very excited, those last gasp winners. Do you think that they can sustain their lead at the top?
Over the course of the season, I'd still have my doubts, I think, because if we look at sort of recent Premier League performances, you know, OK, 2-1 against Wolves probably doesn't tell the whole story. They had the game felt like wrapped up in the first half. Late goal at Brentford, late goal at Luton. That is the sign of champions, is the kind of cliche there. I don't know. I think the sign of champions is usually if you just wipe the floor with most teams and just play really well. I still can't get it out of my head that last season they did fall apart to some extent. And as soon as it was, you know, Saliba got injured, and that seemed to derail them. And I suppose, can they cope if that happens
Do you think
again.
they would have learned from that? Do you think that will be a good learning from last season?
It's hard to
in terms
say.
Of they know they know what to do different. Well, hopefully they would know to
they, but
what
they
to do differently.
Do seem to, I don't know, the Luton game was probably the exception to that. They do seem to be trying to be more solid, more professional in inverted commas, and kind of you know, not be as free flowing. Although in the Champions League we have seen them sort of cut loose more often. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they bottled it like last season. I'd really hate it, that sort of bottling tag. I think they kind of just second half of the season just played more like you kind of expected them to, and it was the first half of the season that was the abnormal aspect, really. I still don't know if they've got a like-for-like replacement for Gabriel Jesus, and Nketiah has never massively convinced me, and Saliba as well at the back. So they feel like they're reliant on those players staying fit. And if I say look at Liverpool, yeah, you want Salah to stay fit, of course, but they've got five or six forwards, haven't they, that they can rotate. And that's where I'm still not entirely convinced by Arsenal.
Well, it sounds like you're finding it difficult to separate the pair, Mark. What's the best bet for this one?
Yeah, I think it is going to be a very interesting game. I mean, if Arsenal go to Villa Park and win and sort of deal with them easily, then, you know, that would be a real marker, I think, and much more a sign of champions rather than nicking a late win at Luton. I think if they really can, you know, do what they did last year at Villa Park, then hold on a minute, you know, got to respect even more what Mikel Arteta's doing. As it is, and the fact that Villa are so strong at home, I think the draw is a fair runner here. I do wonder whether that performance on Wednesday night potentially takes something out of the Villa legs. And the Arsenal have had an extra day to prepare for the game. I think if Arsenal can come away with a point, they won't be too disappointed at Villa Park. And therefore, I'd be nervous about backing them at a shade of odds against. So, yeah, I think the draw's a lively runner in this game.
Looking forward to it, Mark. Let's get on to the rest of the Premier League games. Right then, we'll start with the early kickoff on Saturday. Crystal Palace at home. They welcome Liverpool to Selhurst Park. 19-4, Palace 7-2, the draw 11-20. Liverpool, you said that you probably fancied Liverpool from the start of the season, to be fair, and continue now as City's closest challengers. Got the job done against Sheffield United in the week. Wouldn't say they were overly exciting, but got what they needed to done. Is this a similar type of fixture for them, do you think?
I think it is. I'm going to go for Liverpool to win and under 3.5 goals. Matip done his ACL, so that's long-term an issue for Liverpool, even though Konate, I think he won, was it like 17 aerial duels or something at Bramall Lane. So, he's definitely not a bad defender to have in the ranks as well. I think this is more about Crystal Palace, really, and the fact that they're in a bad spot at the moment. Absolutely dreadful v Bournemouth. The fans giving it large to Roy Hodgson, style of play, not exciting.
I did giggle, I saw a lot of Palace fans going, the style of football is fine. If you're winning games, you're kind of expected to win. And then they were like, why don't we look at Steve Cooper? I'm like, Steve Cooper's style of football is just as bad, is it, in terms of an entertainment perspective?
Do you think? I mean, I don't think anyone's as bad as Roy.
I mean, it's not. I mean, if you're wanting something completely different, I don't think Steve Cooper's your man.
No, well, I think the problem with Palace is that without Eze, you know, they're just not the same team, and he's injured at the moment, and Elise's only just coming back from injury himself. So you've got two exciting players there. Neither of them have kind of been fully fit for much of this season. They haven't played together for more than a few minutes either over the whole campaign. So maybe it would be worth sort of judging Palace more about when they can get those two on the pitch at the same time. That's not going to happen against Liverpool. Palace lost to Arsenal, to Villa, to Spurs, to Newcastle. Dreadful, like I say, against Bournemouth. Even though it's a 12:30 kickoff, and Klopp doesn't like those 12:30s, as he was reminded on Wednesday night. It's the same turnaround for both teams. So, I mean, Liverpool got the deeper squad.
Did you mention your bet? If not,
Liverpool
mentioning.
to win and under 3.5 goals. I
Oh,
don't
we
think you were
did.
listening, Jack.
People can jot that down on their notepads. Brighton Burnley, let's take a look at that. Brighton 2's on, 15-4, the draw, 5-1. Burnley, how are we playing this one, Mark?
Both teams have scored all 15 games for Brighton in the Premier League so far this season. Both teams have scored. Burnley, not prolific, I think it's fair to say, but they've got a goal in them, but particularly at home. They've sort of been scoring more goals at home than they have away, which I suppose is how most teams do it. But they did manage to score at Arsenal, and I just think the way that Brighton play will kind of enable Burnley to get on the score sheet, probably in a Brighton win. But yeah, both teams to score.
Okay, Manchester United, Bournemouth, 8-15, United, 10-3, the draw, 19-4. Bournemouth, as you said, Mark, United just 3 points behind City.
And the best performance of the season against Chelsea. I know, obviously, Bruno Fernandes missed the penalty, but an XG of over 4 on some models, which is
impressive,
really impressive for Manchester United. You know, the players responded excellently to what's been a difficult week, and you know, Ten Hag's coming under increasing pressure. They definitely didn't throw him under the bus, the players that were selected, and I think it would have been easy to have done that. There were still moments right at the end there where Chelsea could have nicked something out of the game, and so I don't think things are perfect for Manchester United, but that was much more heading in the right direction. I'm going to go in this game, draw half-time, Manchester United full-time on the double result. United have only led twice at half-time in the Premier League this season. Bournemouth are getting better. Took a while to adjust to Iraola, but thankfully, you know, for one of my pre-season suggestions that he'd be a good manager, things are starting to turn in the right direction. But just feel like that sort of the quality difference will tell at some stage for United.
Okay, let's take a look at another United, Sheffield United at home to Brentford. 7-2, Sheffield United, 14-5, the draw. Brentford odds on, 8-11. How do you see this going?
Going to go for over 2.5 goals in this game. I just think Chris Wilder, you know, that first game against Liverpool, he's unable to really sort of do what he probably wants to. You know, you're just hoping really to not take a hiding. And they avoided, you know, to a large extent. It was only 2-0. I think they'll get much more on the front foot against Brentford because, as we sort of spoke earlier about, you know, on the show, they need to win games. And this is, you know, for Sheffield United, one of the more winnable games. Brentford will also see it as a very, you know, very good opportunity to get another 3 points. And yeah, I just thought the overs was a big enough price in this game.
Okay, let's take a look at Wolves against Forest. 17-20 Wolves, 13-5 the draw, 10-3 Forest. As you said, Mark, earlier, we are recording this Thursday sort of lunchtime, so there could well be managerial changes that we're not aware of at the moment. I guess Forest certainly in that position. Could this be the end for Steve Cooper if he is still in charge of this game?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Wolves to win. It's slightly frustrating because I fancied Wolves sort of before the midweek games, and the price has come in, you know, and probably deserves to come in as well, though, because to lose, you know, 5-0 at Fulham, you can lose 5-0 at Man City, can't you, or Anfield or the Emirates or whatever. I mean, you shouldn't be losing 5-0 at Fulham. That's 5 defeats out of 6 now. They're just not playing well. And Wolves have had more rest, and they weren't great against Burnley, but got the win, and they might not need to be great to get the win over Forest either.
Yeah, not going well at Forest at the moment. Let's move on to the Sunday games. We'll start with Everton-Chelsea. Everton 11-5, 5-2 the draw, 6-5 Chelsea. I mean, just as you think Chelsea might be turning a slight corner, Mark, it feels like back to square one.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to know what to make of Chelsea. You do feel like they're starting to get something together, and then they have another setback and can't get any consistency in their results. And I wouldn't be backing them to win this game either. I'm going to go for the draw. We're speaking before Everton have played Newcastle, so no idea how that game's going to go. Hopefully, from the sort of tip point of view, Everton don't pick up injuries and suspensions. But if they're able to put together a, you know, a strong sort of side, the way that they defend, I mean, you know, I think one of the consistencies for Chelsea this season is that they've struggled to break down teams that have low blocks. And Sean Dyche, his team won't be defending on the halfway line. So it might be an awkward game for Chelsea.
Okay, Fulham, West Ham. We spoke about Fulham. It's amusing because we've sort of said how stodgy they look going forward. Going thumping five in midweek.
Anyway, yeah. I was going to say, Jack, and don't forget the free at Anfield as well, because they
of course.
So close to, you know, never mind, you nearly won at Anfield. You know, we'll be gutted they haven't got at least a point, but still lost that game. And they scored three goals against Wolves before that. So, I wouldn't, if you'd have said to me sort of before those three games, I wouldn't have fancied Fulham to get in double figures for those three games, but they have. I suppose this is more about a long, I'm taking, we're speaking again, like I said, before the West Ham Spurs game. I'm just taking a longer term view that I think West Ham are better than Fulham and by enough of a margin that I'm going to go for West Ham draw no bet, odds against. The only games that West Ham have lost this season away from home been to Liverpool, to Villa and to Brentford. And I think that Fulham are weaker than those three sides. And so, maybe the Fulham 5-0 had as much to do with Forest being awful as what it did Fulham being good.
Okay. Luton, Man City. Luton 16-1, 13-2 draw. Man City 1-6. We've spoken a lot about Luton and Man City on this podcast. So let's combine all of that and get a tip out of it.
I'm going to go for City to win 3-0. I think we'll get a response. Obviously, Grealish and Rodri are able to come back into the team. They have got a much deeper and sort of better squad, of course, than Luton. And the quick turnaround, even though City have had one less day to prepare, I think it suits City far more than it does Luton, who put so much into that game against Arsenal. You just wonder if they've got that in their legs again to be able to, you know, push themselves once more. And if they do get behind to City, then it's a long way back. Because I think at some stage, City have got to, you know, they've got to hit out and get a reaction. So maybe it will come in this game. City to win 3-0.
Okay, looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the next one. Spurs against Newcastle, 4:30 on Sunday, 5-4 Spurs, 14-5 the draw, 17-10 Newcastle. Are you out this one, Mark?
No, you know my dislike for the Sunday 4:30 game. So I'm not going. I mean, Tottenham reserves against Newcastle reserves, isn't it? with all the injuries that both teams have got at the moment, should be a good game. I suppose from Newcastle's point of view, I've got the game at Everton on Thursday, and Spurs are playing on Thursday as well, but they've got the game at Everton on Thursday. Then they've got this massive Champions League game in midweek as well. At some stage, will Eddie Howe be able to rotate? I don't think he will be, just because of the amount of players they've got out at the moment. And the latest one of those, Nick Pope, you know, he's... Yeah. A very solid last line of defence for them. And I think that's a big old blow. Dubravka, capable of magic moments, really, when Steve Bruce was in charge. But quality-wise, he's not up there, I don't think, with Nick Pope. So a hard game for us to assess, given that both teams have got one more match to play before they get to this one. I think Romero coming back for Tottenham against West Ham is a big plus for them. I'm going to go for Tottenham to score first, which is something they've done in 11 of their 14 Premier League games so far this season. We've seen it against Chelsea and against Villa and against City as well, wasn't it? Where they've really come flying out, scored early. More often than not, I think because of the amount of injuries they've got, they haven't been able to sustain it. So I think if you back them to score first, you're kind of taking that perhaps sort of tiredness factor out of it from them in the second half. But yeah, that was one way I was looking. What was a really difficult actual whole coupon, I think, to call. And, you know, this game's no different.
Absolutely. Well, that's your Premier League card marked. Let's time to look at the EFL with Dan Charles.
If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/free bets and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/free bets.
Well, it's all going on in the EFL at the moment. Let's catch up with Dan Childs for his tips, but also a team in focus. We take a look at a team in the 72 clubs of the EFL to see what's going on. We'll have a look at Sheffield Wednesday this week. Dan, rooted to the bottom of the Championship table, all kinds of issues on and off the pitch, but a new manager has given them somewhat of a bounce in recent weeks.
Yeah, that Danny Rowe, who's coming, 34 years old, youngest manager in the EFL, I believe, and you know, has come in without any previous, you know, managerial experience. Done a bit of coaching at Southampton and jobs in Germany, but kind of a high risk appointment, if you like, considering he's coming to a job where they were, I think they had 3 points when he came in, rooted to the bottom of the Championship. They're still bottom at the moment, but you look actually at what he's done there, and you would have given them absolutely no hope when he arrived, and they've got 7 points from 8 games, which, considering, you know, they had like 3 from 11, you know, before he come in, that is, you know, an improvement. And you look at the last couple of games recently as well. I'm watching their, not just their results, but their performances. The game at Birmingham where they lost 2-1, they actually looked like they had a lot of control in that game, took the lead, played well, a bit unlucky to lose that. And then they had the Leicester home game where they've got a late equaliser. You think, well, you know, is that lucky? But you look at the game and the highlights, and they actually really pressed the life out of Leicester and should have been in front really earlier in the game. And the point was the least they deserved there against the leaders. And then they've gone at home to Blackburn, who, going into that game, Blackburn have been on a great run. They won 6 out of 8 league games. And Wednesday have beaten them 3-1 at Hillsborough. So there's a definite upturn in Sheffield Wednesday's performance. Now, I mean, they're 2-5 for relegation. Do I think they'll still go down? I would say probably yes. That's more to do with the owner, I would say, than the manager, who's definitely, you know, getting improvement out of the players. They're going to need, you would think, better players in January. The chairman there, Dafon Chancery, has already publicly said that he don't want to put, you know, a great deal more money in. So you'd have to wonder, with them 10 points from safety at the moment, unless they get a lot nearer to that safety line, is he going to be investing in better players in January? So that could be the issue for Wednesday. But I would say, if you're thinking about opposing Sheffield Wednesday certainly in the week trying up to Christmas, be a bit wary, because they're a team improving at the moment.
Yeah, it must be so difficult when you can see that you're getting a change out of your players, but you know it's such an uphill battle when it comes to resource. So, yeah, it's been a tricky season for Sheffield Wednesday, but one to keep an eye on, that's for sure. Let's get your tips for this weekend then, Dan. 3, as always, what's your first?
Yeah, going to start off with a bit of a League One basement battle. Exeter at home to Port Vale. I'm going to go for Port Vale draw, no bet, shade of odds against to win this one. I mean, Port Vale, these are the two teams in League One with the longest sort of winless runs at the moment. Exeter are 10 league games without a win. Port Vale actually 11. I do think Port Vale, at least they've been showing some form in the Cups. They got through to the EFL Cup quarter final. They've got Middlesbrough to play in the week before Christmas in that. You know, it's a remarkable run there in that competition. And that's been a bit of hope for them. Their league results has been linked to, they've had a lot of injuries, Port Vale, in the last couple of weeks. It has been improving a bit in the treatment room. I mean, last weekend, I tipped them to get a decent result away to Stevenage in the FA Cup second round. They did. They got a 1-1 draw there, got a replay. So there's signs of improvement at the moment for Port Vale. There aren't any signs of improvement recently for Exeter. Gary Caldwell's under massive pressure. 0-0 draw at home to Shrewsbury, who had shed loads of injuries in that game. That was their last result. They've scored 1 goal in their last 7 matches, Exeter. Big issues up front. Admiral Musgrave, they got in as a centre-forward. He's very rarely been fit. So they're lacking a decent centre-forward, really, after Sam Nombe leaving. And no, I think they're in, unless they, you know, recruit better forward players, I think in January they're going to be in big trouble, Exeter, after that great start to the season that they had. So Port Vale, for me, out of these two, got the more scope to improve, and I'll take them to get the win.
Okay, 2 more to go. Who's up next?
First of my League Two selection is going to go with Bradford. A shade of odds on at home to Salford. I think a bit of 10 to 11 you can get. Bradford change managers early November, brought in Graham Alexander, who, you know, not long after he got the sack from MK Dons. And he's gone into another job of a club that they would expect to be pushing for the playoffs. Struggled a bit under Mark Hughes, bit of a playoff hangover maybe from last season. But Graham Alexander has got them going. They've got four successive wins now in all competitions. Bradford clearly improving. Confidence is starting to come. And they're against the Salford side. They're another one of the teams with a big budget in League Two, but their injuries have been horrendous. You've got to feel sorry for Neil Wood there, who's doing his best under, you know, they've been regularly having sort of around 10 players out injured. The situation hasn't improved recently. And they did scrape a 0-0 draw at Stockport, backs to the wall last weekend, but you know, more from luck than judgment, really. And I can see him struggling here against Bradford, who, as I say, are on the up at the moment.
Okay, so Bradford go into Dan Child's list this weekend. And who's up next, Dan?
I'm going to go with Grimsby at home to Crewe. I mean, Grimsby, David Artell's gone in there, former Crewe player and manager, so he's going to be up for the game, but there's a bit more science behind it than that. Grimsby under Artell, I think he'll do a good job for them in the long run and in the short run. They went to MK Dons in the first league game, got a 1-1 draw, and MK Dons have been going really, really well, but by all accounts, Grimsby had the better chances in that game, so that was a big uptick in performance. Last weekend away to Oxford, played well but went down 2-0 away from home against a team flying high in League One. So no disgrace in that. There's good signs from Grimsby under Artell, and they're up against a Crewe. So I did oppose Crewe last weekend, but their FA Cup game against Bristol Rovers was postponed due to the weather. I'm going to oppose them again. I mentioned last week they've got lots of injuries at the moment, Crewe. They drew 1-1 away to the basement boy Sutton United in their last league game. I don't think they're going to be ready to play a great deal better this weekend, and Grimsby, with that new manager bounce, could get the 3 points.
Dan, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Jack.
Great to hear from Dan. Mark, we'll round things off with your best bets in the Premier League for this weekend. We'll start with the prop shop and return to the market that we've found success in.
Yeah, the bet build is quite difficult, really, just because of the midweek gains, sort of, you know, working all the pricing out. Yeah, they're a bit beyond me. So I'm going for the into the prop shop. McTominay scored twice against Chelsea, didn't he, on Wednesday night. Not backing him to score, but I am backing him to have a shot on target against Bournemouth. I mean, he's the top scorer in the league for United, and 66% of his shots are on target, and he seems to get forward a lot, doesn't he, at the moment. So, yeah, I just thought a shot on target for McTominay against Bournemouth at 5-6 was, definitely something that we should be looking to play. And we're in good form on the sort of goals angles as well, obviously, after Enzo Fernandez landed that 16-1 beauty last week by scoring first in the game against Brighton, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I know plenty of our followers were on. I've seen a few new markets emerge, Mark. I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. I see a few bookmakers are pricing up kind of players XG in terms of goals. I mean, you've obviously found a lot of success in recent seasons with the shots on target, and you seem to adapt very quickly. Is that market something you'll be looking at going forwards?
Well, I mean, I have had a look. I would say from the prices I've seen, bookmakers are not giving much away, really, because you can't bet both sides of it. And the price that you do get is, I've not seen one that stands out yet. I think the pricing option's defensive. The one thing as well I don't massively like about that is just knowing where you are during the game. Now, I know you can kind of get sort of updated stats and you can look around. But yeah, if you have a shot on target, generally speaking, you know whether your players have a shot on target. I know there's the odd debate sometimes, isn't there? But, you know, XG, you are having to, you know, instead of watching the game, you are kind of having to have a look around on data sites or bookie sites to try to work out where you stand. And, I don't know. It just feels unnecessarily sort of complicated to me. I've not seen a price yet that's interested me.
Okay, let's get your treble for this weekend, Mark.
Yeah, so hopefully the 12:30 kickoff doesn't derail Liverpool's Premier League title bid. I think they'll have considerably too much for powder puff Crystal Palace at the moment. And then a couple in the EFL, Blackpool scoring plenty at the moment to beat Carlisle, and then Wrexham to beat Forest Green. Forest Green are having a rough time, aren't they, down in League Two? And I mean, Wrexham should have more than enough to win that game. Pays around about 3-1.
Okay, nice stuff. And we'll finish things off this week, Mark, with your best bet. What's the nap?
Yeah, I was really struggling with this one. I've landed on Brighton v Burnley, over 2 goals, and both teams to score. So we need 3 goals, but we need both teams to score. 12 of Brighton's 15 games have had both teams scoring and over 2.5 goals in the same game. Burnley, much more kind of average in that regard, 7 out of 15. But even that's pretty close to the even money, kind of, you know, 50%. And Brighton, just, it doesn't really matter who you are. They just suck you into, you know, end-to-end game. So, yeah, hopefully there'll be goals and plenty of them at the Amex.
There we go. Pleasure as always, Mark. Thank you. And a big thanks to Dan Charles as well. You can find out loads more of Dan's work on the Racing Post Sport website. We will be back next week for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club. Until then, remember to gamble responsibly and stay safe. See you later, everyone. Bye-bye.